We talked about it coming.
We're just gonna get out of the way.
So did you get canceled something recently?
Yeah. Superman. Obviously, incredibly excited about it. I mean, who wouldn't be? The mega opportunity, and just getting started now. Can't wait to get things really rolling and get the suit on.
Did this help you out in any way? Doing Immortals?
You think
it will help you? I mean?
The physical preparation, obviously, once you're in shape like that once, it's easier to get back there and then build upon it. So, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you were pretty much in shape prior to that, were you not?
prior to Immortals?
Yeah.
Well, when you're in that kind of shape, it changes your entire viewpoint on what in shape is. You might think, I'm not bad, but when you're in that kind of shape, you go, okay, now this is in shape, and anything else less than this is out of shape. Because once you've been there, you know how your body reacts and how it moves and what you feel like and what you can do.
You never really go back, do you? After you've done it, makes you think of something, makes you think completely differently about training and food and diet and everything.
Yeah. So what did you... never really prepared you for anything that you're doing now?
Acting-wise, of course. It's all experience in the end. But as far as physicality, different kettle of fish altogether.
So what is the physical training regimen for both of you? And, a lot of times I hear about on these sets of superhero movies, some of the male co-actors have a little bit of a rivalry in terms of getting into shape. What do you guys do?
I think it was a friendly rivalry.
Yes, yeah. And supportive as well, because it was hard going. It was when I started, we were doing like 4 to 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then I would train on the weekend as well, because I only had 7 weeks to get into the shape.
Yeah,
Henry had been doing it for months and months. I was, Tarsim kindly gave me 7 weeks, but I dropped 30 pounds in 7 weeks, which is,
Egg whites and tuna fish, and what'd you eat?
Yeah, basically, yeah, and running up the hotel stairs with my trainer at 7 in the morning before even getting to the gym. That was 21 flights of stairs while it was snowing outside. And, yeah, it was harsh, but it was because we were doing it together and we did it with the stuntmen. We trained with the stuntmen. It was a support network. We were all in the same boat. We all were attaining the same goal.
Yeah.
We all wanted to look the best and... Yeah, there was never like any nasty rivalry.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to push him down the stairs a couple of times, but he doesn't break easily.
Zeus.
Yeah. How familiar were both of you coming on board with Tarsim's previous work?
I had seen, obviously, The Cell donkeys ago, and a long time ago, that is. And after I'd first met with Tarsim, The Fall was just coming out, and so at that stage he said, right, here's some tickets to my movie, go check it out. And obviously I was like, okay, this guy's the shit.
He has an amazing showreel as well with all his other work, like the commercials and the music videos, and you've seen that showreel.
Yeah.
it's astounding, his variety of work that he's done, and it's great. It's all cut. It's like, this is me. And he did actually send it to me before I met him, and he insisted that I would watch it before I met him, so I got an idea, because he's so distinctive in his work and his style that you really have to see his work before you work with him.
Is there any concern coming in as an actor looking at someone who's so visual? Obviously he has an amazing visual angle to his work. You look then and think like, well, is he going to pay attention to me?
I'm sure there is that might worry about
exactly. You would worry about it, but like every time when we both met Tarsim, it can be pushed way too much that he's a visionary director. He's a visionary, actually, but he's much more than that, he's very giving. He's got a great manner about him as a director. There's a lot to him, and he just happens to be one of the best
visual directors
in the world.
He's a fantastic actors director. He's there with you all the way, helping you along, and we'll share ideas, we'll be open to suggestions, and you have a genuine discussion about what you're building and putting together. It's not just, okay, you do that, we're going to make the rest of this look pretty.
But it is something you think. I think as an actor, if you're going to work with a director who's not necessarily known for being an actor's director, you think about it. But with Tarsim, 2 minutes in his company, and that was completely put to bed. That worry. It's no worry.
It occurs to me, looking at this stuff, is there
a secret code that you seek out UK actors to play these kind of characters, whether it's the human, whether it's the gods or something?
I don't know. I mean, certainly not. I think there's probably that myth attached that for some reason Brits are good at doing period film. I don't think that's necessarily true at all. I mean, act as an actor, you can switch and change your accent and your persona as you go on. That's
the right person gets the job.
Yeah.
Do Americans look bad in spandex? Do Americans look bad in spandex?
Do Americans look bad in spandex? I'm sure some do.
Yeah.
Most of the journals do.
As long as they keep it under their clothes.
Yeah. Keep it under their clothes and under wraps. Yeah, nice and private. I don't want to know.
So, you're currently or about to be testing for the new Bourne.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell us how that's going, how you're feeling about it. How much enthusiasm you have in that
direction? It's a big deal. It's a fantastic role that's been portrayed 3 times very, very successfully. And I love the Bourne films, and I love what Matt did in them. It's just hard to push that out and now think, right, this is a new character, you know, it's not Jason Bourne. I'm not playing Jason Bourne. That's what I'm not up for, you know. So it's a big job and big shoes to fill, but I've met the director, he's fantastic. The script that I've been given, I've not been allowed to read the whole script. No one's allowed to read the whole script, but the script I've been given is great. It's so well done. It's just rolls off the tongue. So yeah, it's just nice to be in good company. There's 4 of us left.
Is there a specific focus for you after that? I'm getting along with that question. You've done a lot of period films at this point. Are you trying to get away from that? Or is it just...
I'm not trying to do anything. I just choose the work that I like. And I'm doing 2 contemporary films at the end of this year. The Amateur American with Ross Katz, which is completely contemporary and action and European. And I play an American in it. And then another film where I'm playing a boxer at the end of the year in Bangkok. So... it swings and roundabouts. You just gotta. I don't think you should worry too much. Listen, if you've done like 25 years of just playing classical characters, and you know, then you might think, maybe. But you know, I've only been in movies for 2.5 years. So, and I've done a huge mixture. But it just happens to be the big ones, are the big old epic, classical genres. So.
Do either of you get concerned? I mean, for example, you Superman potentially for Bourne. You get concerned about typecasting it. So bonded to a character that
there's always a fear when you do something which is as big as these relative jobs are, respective jobs are, that there's always that fear. It's a matter of choosing the right jobs in between.
I also think, though, you know, it's you get asked that question a lot if you take on a role that's sort of established, bigger than life, or you know, other people have played it and you're taking over, but it's a great opportunity, and it's a fantastic role. That's a fantastic role.
Yeah,
and you're going to have an amazing time doing it. And if I got Bourne, I'd relish every moment. I don't think you should worry too much about being typecast. I mean, this is the moment. Live the now and do what you want to do.
Don't live in fear. Just
you can live your whole life worried about what if.
I mean, if you're a good enough actor, you can break anything.
Absolutely.
But also not just in terms of being typecast. Do you worry about, I mean, in your case, it might be a little easier perhaps because everyone associates Bourne with one actor. But, you know, you probably know several different incarnations, Christopher Reeve, Brandon Routh, Dean Cain. Is there a worry about unwittingly imitating them and intentionally going in and putting your own spin on the character?
I certainly haven't been doing the method of research, which is watching other actors perform it, because yes, then there is that danger that unconsciously you emulate them and then just try and put your own spin or touch on it. But also, that's never the way I approach acting anyway. I just go in there, do what I see on the page, and do what the director's telling me. And however that comes out is the plan. There's no... I think the only way to do something and make it great is to do your own thing of it. Otherwise, it's been seen before.
So, what's up?
So, do you anticipate James Cameron taking any umbrage at the 3D in Immortals?
You know, did you guys see the movie that he released? What was it called? Underwater movie?
I did, yes.
That was in 3D, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I rest my case. Okay? I don't even remember the name of it, but I know.
I don't either, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's genius. This movie's not about the 3D. I mean, it became even clearer to me today when we were showing the teaser. You know, the movie looks so great as is, but I think that there, you know, there's a big decision 3D, because I think it'll just be as well received if it's not.
But I mean, you've got a phenomenal director, you know, certainly from a visual perspective, even without the 3D. But when you give a guy like that, who has such sure-handed instincts in that department, the added gift of 3D,
right?
Does that even elevates the product?
Well,
correct?
If it's a gift, I heard today Jon Favreau was saying that, you know, when he showed the Cowboys and Aliens, for this glorious 2D,
right?
Glorious 2D, yeah.
So was 300. So was Inception. So,
what's your take on it? Some people, like,
I don't particularly, you know. I think when we did Piranha is a perfect 3D movie. I disagree with Jim Cameron, because I think that Piranha is the kind of movie that you want to feel like you're in the screen. It's a different kind of ride. This movie, with the way it looks today, it'd be great either way. He's so visually superior to many filmmakers. But we're going 3D, so get your glasses.
This sort of subject matter seems to be, I mean, some people are saying we're going back to fairy tales and legends and stuff like that. Not
right.
Was that intentional, or was that something that came to you?
I think that we, Johnny and I, were, you know, after Zach changed the landscape and really set the bar so high on 300, we actually shied away from it. We both happen to like mythology and history, but it's just we like the story, you know, and that's at the heart of everything we try to do. If you feel like you can tell a story that people will respond to, and we've just been fortunate that once again we cast the shit out of this, and these guys are all emerging. I mean, someone at the other table said, well, did you feel great when Henry became Superman? I went, yeah, I started yelling out the car window. What am I supposed to do? Thank you, God. Then I realized that I also have God. Luke is God, so it's good. And it's ironic because Zach, of course, we're like one family in a way. You know, Zach is using Henry. Tarsem used Henry. I did these movies, so it's kind of great.
Do you feel that with him becoming Superman, do you think that might help promote your films?
No question. If you were out there, they went crazy. What's going to happen? And he's good. And Luke is good. They're all good enough.
And if Luke
and Kellen Lutz is totally happening. And, you know, he couldn't make it today. He got stuck. He was shooting Twilight. But there's a lot of firepower here. Frida's great. And Mickey's bad. Badass in this movie. It's like, he'll remind you why you like Mickey Rourke. Yeah.
So I take it you're pulling for Luke to get that Bourne part too?
I think he's a great guy. I hope he gets it. He's completely a happening actor.
What have you seen? I mean, did you watch The Tudors? Did you see Tamara Drew?
I knew Henry from before, and then he tested for us. Yeah, and then we just stayed with him. You know? And it was a lot of debate because we got pushed back many months in making the movie, and eventually we went and we stayed the course.
We keep hearing about a 300 prequel as well.
Me too. Zach and Kurt Johnstead are writing. We've been very, very, very careful, to say the least. We could have made a sequel 4 years ago, but, you know, that's a movie that really the pop culture around the world has embraced all the time. And so we always wanted to do well. Now we're on a track, to do something great. So I feel like it's going to happen, and we're close. Clearly, he can't. Frank's written already the stuff. We love Frank.
And where's the progress on Piranha 3DD?
Yeah, well, they're going to make it. 3D, Piranha Double D.
Double D.
Someone asked me today in my meetings this morning, is it a bigger movie? I went, did you not hear the title? It's Double D. But it's coming along. Yeah, I'm not as actively involved with it because I've been so involved with this and some other things I'm doing. Henry and I actually shot this movie called Cold Light of Day in Madrid and with Bruce Willis and Sigourney Weaver. And so that's in post-production. There's a lot of stuff going on. And Piranha, it's coming. And I don't know what D it's going to be in, but it's going
to... Yeah.
I mean, I'm very proud of it because so many people really loved it. And I just was in a bit of a snit with the Weinsteins because I thought they could have released it better. And I think they think so, too. So we're doing another one, so we'll see.
Do you have a... does any one project of all of the many that you have in the works excite you more than all the others?
Yeah, 300. There's no question.
So more than The Immortals?
No. You said that I have in the works. This is already shot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, no. Fair. Nothing excites me more than this. This is... This is a.
What this keeps is, this one at the top of the list for all the ones that we haven't seen?
Well, I just think it's going to be a great movie, you know. And there's not enough great movies, and it's a very. He's a wonderful filmmaker who's just about to hit the world of popcorn in a big way, you know. So it's fun. You love that feeling, you know. It's a great thing.
Do you look for people? Obviously, you're always looking for talent, but are you on the lookout in this situation for people ready to make that jump, like you say, to popcorn, like Jack Snyder, for example?
Yeah.
Is that where he came out?
Zach, I go back to Tim Burton with that, and Robert Rodriguez, and Michael Babb. I mean, all those guys, I did their first movies. So, yeah, I guess it's part of my career. Yeah.
They send you Christmas cards and stuff like that?
Yeah, checks too. yeah, we're all friendly. We should be. We've had a lot of opportunity together, you know. A lot of talent. And I respect each of them in their own way, you know. I've had a lot of great fortune working with these filmmakers, you know. And then I've worked with Marty several times, you know, and that's a whole other league. That's how I feel about it.
Looking forward, is there any thoughts to work with Tarsem again?
Yeah.
Anything specific?
Absolutely. Well, we'll do another Immortals.
Right.
I hope. And he's going to go do Snow White right now, so right. I'm not doing that. Yeah, we'll figure out something. In all honesty, we have to finish this movie. We have a lot of work to do. We haven't scored the movie. We have to convert it. We have to finish our process.
But it's all shot at this point.
Yeah. We're very happy.
We going to see more at Comic-Con, perhaps?
I would expect that Comic-Con we're going to blast the shit out of it. I mean, I would think that's our moment, you know? It's end of July, right? And then...
Perfect time.
Then we're there. So that's the game plan.
Can you talk a little bit about how you first became involved with the Immortals?
When I got the script in the end, it reflects nothing what I originally came in with. I just saw that script and I just said, right now it's a genre that will, let's say, open the vault. And usually for me, genres very rarely interest me. I just think, can I bring enough of my DNA to get into this particular film? So when everybody wanted to make the film immediately, I said, no interest. It'll take me at least a year and a half to design it and a year and a half to make sure that enough of my what I want to do ends up in the movie. So it came in as that. And originally, I think Henry's character was the king's son and blah, blah, and everything. In the end, he's ended up as a peasant now. So it wasn't really any of those things. So I knew it was going to evolve. So I came in with that saying, Greek, okay, it's not going to be specifically Greek, but as I said, they've never been consistent among themselves. Forget about when the Romans imagined them. When the Renaissance came in and you saw the Greek tales, they switched enough, especially in painting renditions, what they wore. And I just said, we're making it today. I don't want to be true to a particular period. So that doesn't mean that they have computers. I mean, like, so I didn't go as far as Romeo and Juliet in Mexico, which I adored. But I had to kind of figure out, you know, like, what are the rules that apply to this world? And it's not consistent in that particular form.
Did you have a hand in the casting, or was the...
Everything. They, basically, the first person that I cast, which they very much hoped that I would have cast a star, as they like to say, and I didn't. So when they had meet, because they said, a lot of people want to work with you, will you meet them? And I didn't, I just said, can't see it. And I just, we didn't have a script, so I took one scene when I met Henry. I just had him read something, and I told him, right now, you're a king's son, and by the end of it, there is no king, there never was.
and it's going to be evolving. So what I did was I read something, but he read a particular way, and I told him, don't like it, let's go the other way. He went the other way. I said, didn't work, let's come back. No, let's try Campy. I did 10 things, he was there. In 6 takes, he was there. And I just said, okay, wherever the script goes, in the words of Miss Piggy from Sesame, not Sesame Street, from this thing, I said, some piggies have it and some don't, and that piggy had it. Mm-hmm. So I pointed and I said, this is the man. Came back, and everybody's kind of like, okay, it's kind of not known, kind of not this thing, but they stuck by me. They just said, okay, you pointed, if you change your mind, we'll go with you. And Henry never gave anybody a reason to. So when it was done, until 3 months ago, everybody's kind of like, we wish it was a bigger guy, we wish it was this thing, and then suddenly he cast the Superman, and suddenly I look like a genius from a movie.
Did you get to say, I told you so, to anybody?
No, not really, because I'll tell them later.
No,
yes, I said, no, because now none of them claim that that conversation happened. So I will remind them publicly.
On both The Cell and The Fall, you have two worlds you're kind of dealing with. You're talking about spending a lot of time creating, identifying what this world is. Is being able to focus on one reality freeing, or is it...
Sorry, what is that, freeing?
Freeing,
I see. Very good question. No, not freeing. Because for me, if it was realistic looking, it would have been. Because when we started from The Fall, in that particular one, there's one in one world and one another. Neither of them are really realism-based, because one is like, The Fall is like nostalgia versus fantasy. And the other one, you know, is I mean, like I keep saying, when people are saying it didn't look real enough, I'm thinking, if you come to see a movie with Jennifer Lopez as a shrink, and you want it to be realistic, I think you're a fucking problem, man. So for me, I was already asking for fantasy and but there's a difference between fantasy and fantastical. This movie is all in one word, and it's fantastical. So it took equal amount of work. But there's one set of rules. And those ones, the two set of rules. The little girl shifts, you have to change your story. So that was different. And in The Cell, it was like ticking clock story from one side and fantasy on the other. So in this particular one, no, it wasn't easy. But when I do my dinner with Andre, I'm sure it will be.
Do you have any plans to do my dinner with
No,
Andre?
I'd like to. The first time I get a script that rocks, I might. But then I'm not there. Maybe in 10, 15 years, I might have interest there.
No, I was talking to Lily earlier today. She was talking about her whirlwind casting with Snow White.
It happened in the last 24 hours, yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, she was talking about that. What was it about her that you actually...
Eyebrows. I saw her eyebrows and I said, that's Snow White. And I met her when she came in for Isabelle's part for Athena a year ago. And I just said, I don't think so. And then the moment I saw Isabel, one thing I just said, I didn't need to meet her, didn't need to. I said, no, that's the goddess that I want. And when her thing happened, did not go in for any reading with her either.
Yeah, it was I just saw her. She hadn't met you yet,
no?
Right?
I'd met her a year ago on something else. And then I met her at a coffee with her day before yesterday, and I saw those eyebrows. I said, if everybody says they will not touch those eyebrows, this is Snow White. And the studio said, we won't touch the eyebrows. And I said, that's
an eyebrow man.
Eyebrow man I am.
I know that in school I studied Roman and Greek mythology, but I've forgotten all but the basics of it. Coming into a movie like this, how much did you guys know off the top of your heads about it? And should we forget what we knew? Or should, you know, is it better to be well-versed in that?
Well, when you're making such a mass film and you kind of want to stick to those particular ones, they can get a bit fuddy-duddy. And for me, did I know enough? Yes, it was drilled into us in school. It was a subject we had to take. Did I follow it enough? No, I don't think so. It's a story of Theseus. It's like, you know, cavemen telling a caveman story in dinosaur times. They do not exist together. But if it solves all your theatrical problems, you try to go with it. I mean, I loved Caveman with Ringo Starr and dinosaurs in it. I saw that movie in India, and I thought it perfectly worked until somebody just said they were never together. So for me, when I look at Theseus being intervened with the gods, I took what I thought works with the gods, or the tales of the gods. It's the issue of immortality. Do you really want to live forever? If you want to live forever, would you like to live 19 or 85? So once I decided that these are the gods who do not interfere in our world, how do you justify such a world as ours, which is so screwed up? And if those beings exist, why aren't they interfering? So those subject matters I was interested in, I said, okay, gods stay, and we put them in a tale of Theseus. They were never together. But so no. So if you are really a literature fan, I suggest you should read more literature, because I just don't think films really should stay that close to literature. Literature is brilliant, and books are brilliant. And if the two don't mix, don't.
Is there a challenge playing this world but making it connect to an audience who's more attuned to average folk rather than gods and goddesses?
Yeah, for sure. There is. I think... Tassem's direction was, he was encouraging us to really like be stripped of all statuesque sort of physical courage, as if you're a statue like. That's sort of how we imagine girls in a way, classically. But he really wanted us to be very human and relatable, and so body language and everything as well.
What's he like as a boss? Is he a tyrant?
I was not a boss.
He's not
a
boss at all. He was more like our friend. We'd all be going out for dinner all the time and shouting us dinners everywhere. And very technical and very vision-driven director, but also very much an actor's director, and really encouraging us to explore our own individual creative styles and offer. It's very different to Michael Bay in that sense. With him, you're nearly like a chess character, and you know that's what you sign up for. And with Tassem, it's much more creative in a way.
Is his wardrobe always as interesting to look at as his movie?
It's always
you mean my t-shirt along with it?